Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of Life is No Coincidence, The Living Spirit, and my next book, New Life Awaits, offering stories of awakening, transforming, and transcending physical life and its challenges for a more accurate view of our human and energetic potential. Today I welcome Allison Carman, whose new book, The Gift of Maybe, offers a realistic approach to fight a powerful addiction many people have, an addiction to certainty, which only makes you feel anxious and afraid, as it is an impossibility to be in control of events or completely know the future. The beauty in life is to learn to allow, accept, and surrender to all possibilities and move through all challenges, doing your best and trusting that life is merely a series of experiences, neither good nor bad, but just leading us to know ourselves and the world in more loving ways. Hello, Allison, and thank you for joining us today.
Oh, Cheryl, thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. Allison, as most of our listeners are aware, my guests and I share personal experiences and revelations about navigating the course of life in ways that help us through our challenges, not just preserving what is or keeping things static, but creating more hope, joy, and success with attitudes that really work. It is in the becoming or knowing life from an inner perspective, as well as the physical reality, that we transcend fear and anxiety and regain courage and balance in the process. And that's what we really need and want. In today's episode of Healing From Within, we will discover how it is possible to move from the fear of desperately wanting to know or predict what will happen next, and to find hope and freedom when we discover there is another tool or possibility that we can use, and that is the concept of maybe. This attitude may be a tool to cope with many of life's unpredictable and changing realities. Allison, I always love to ask my guests to think back to the child they were and any experienced people, places, or values that may have predicted the adult that they would become, possibly the work and lifestyle they would embrace or value as an adult, because I believe we're born with a plan, and some of the innocence or experiences we have as children are part of that plan to help us awaken or grow into what is most valuable in this life. So think back for a minute.
Yeah, that's a really beautiful place to start. I think that I can't remember a day I wasn't a warrior. I can't remember a day where I wasn't, even at a very young age, projecting that if I didn't like what was happening in the moment, things were bad. Or if I didn't see the way things were going in the moment, I project it would never get better in the future or things could never change. And I think that's how my childhood went. I mean, I had happy times and joyous times, but the unexpected and the uncertainty often caused anxiety and worry. And I think my parents were worriers and my grandparents were worriers. So I think that's how I came into the world with this view, this addiction, I always say, to certainty. And as I got older and life became more complicated, the addiction to certainty had a bigger role in my life.
Yeah, you thought you could control things if you could learn all there was and didn't have to wait for something to happen. You could make what you needed happen first. I was the same way as a kid. I had a lot of anxiety, and I spent a lot of time crying. And I also had parents who were warriors. And what it was is we grew up with this feeling of perfection. They really truly believed that we could be perfect. And life's not perfect. A physical life cannot be perfect. Our soul life knows that the perfection is in the beauty of the experiences that we have in learning to deal with this anxiety or fear and remove it so we can live in peace and harmony and balance and trust. Trust is an important word. To trust that we'll be all right whatever happens. And they didn't really give us that. I agree with you. And I think that you and I, through our experiences, have learned how to do it, and we're going to help our audience get there. Tell us about your work as an attorney and how you discovered you had an addiction sort of to fear.
It was addiction to certainty, and like you said before, this need to know, this need to control. So what I would do, and I think a lot of us do this, is I'd write stories about what needs to happen for me to be okay. And the big story that I wrote in my life was I was going to grow up, I was going to become an attorney, I was going to get a job at a really large law firm, marry a great guy, and I actually believed that I would be in control, that there would be no more uncertainty in my life. Things would just work out. And I, you know, pursued all these goals, and I was still a worrier, but then that day arrived where I became a lawyer, got the job at the big firm, married the great guy, and I said, oh, everything's gonna be okay. And I remember my second day of work, my office mate came in and said, hey, Allison, did you hear they're firing half the first years? And I was a first year. And that was, that moment really changed me, because it was in that moment that I realized I could never win this game. I could never control it. The problem was I had no tool. So the knowledge made me feel worse. I will never have certainty in my life. So the stress and the worry became greater. I stopped sleeping. I started to become physically ill, and I started to run to all these doctors. And nothing really helped. I mean, yoga helped, a better diet helped, but the minute something unexpected happened in my life, I started to control again.
No, because, Allison, what you had to change was the perception and the thoughts, and you had to come to a realization that you were more than the physical life and all these experiences, as indeed we are. Life is not quite what we see with our physical eyes, and that's what I think helped me, and that's what I think helped you. You know, I'm a medium, so I'm an intuitive. So when I connect to the energy of the universe, we can call it universal energy or the life force or creation, I get information that is wholly accurate. And it's coming from something more than my ego or mind and personality. It's coming from my inner soul essence, which is an internal force of life. And once you can grasp that, a lot of the fear just falls away, because you know there's a plan. There's a plan, and we'll be fine here, and we'll be fine beyond here. And then it doesn't become so important to control. It actually becomes fun to wait for things to unfold. But let's go on to, were there any books or teachers or experiences when you began your search for a way to deal with the stresses of your life?
Well, what happened is that this fear was so great that I couldn't let go, that I couldn't see the life and flow of the universe. I couldn't connect because I was always in my mind, always worried. Mm-hmm. If I didn't know what was going to happen next, things were bad. They weren't going to work out. And one day, as I was struggling back and forth, this went on for years, I went for a Qigong lesson, and I had a Taoist teacher. And I was worrying about something. I don't even remember. Maybe it was about my mother's well-being. And this teacher turned to me, and he told me this story about this farmer who had a horse, and his horse ran away. And his neighbor came by and said, you have the worst luck. And the farmer said, maybe. And the next day, the horse came back with five mares. And the neighbor came by and said to the farmer, you have the best luck. And the farmer says, maybe. But the next day, the farmer's son is on the horse. He falls off and breaks his leg. And the neighbor comes by to the farmer and says, you have the worst luck. And the farmer says, maybe. But the next day, the army comes to take his son to war, and they can't take him because his leg is broken. And the neighbor comes by and says to the farmer, you have the best luck. And the farmer says, maybe. And in the Taoist tradition, it means things are neither good or bad. But for me, when I heard that story, I actually felt a pop in my chest. Because in my life, there was no maybe. There was just fear. The minute something bad happened, I didn't realize that the next moment could bring something new. So this idea of maybe liberated me. It liberated me from this fear of things are one way, life's a one-way street, you are doomed, things are not working out, to this place of maybe of infinite possibilities where maybe I'm still okay, maybe something else will happen. And instead of judging everything as good or bad, life became more about maybe. And the more I embraced it, the less stress and worry I had. And the less stress and worry I had, the more present I became. And the more present I became, the more connected I became to everything that was infinite. I became more creative. And it just changed my life. And it's a simple little word, but it allowed me to release my fear and hang out in uncertainty with more ease and grace.
But I love that word maybe, because actually it gives you a time to take a breath and a pause. And in the pause, whatever fear you had recedes and something else comes in and it changes. But you know, in hearing that story, you use the word luck a lot. But for me, it's really not about luck at all. In my first book, Life is No Coincidence, I show that events in our lives are not random at all, but loaded with opportunities for us to remember who we are. If we remember that we're more than this physical life, but spiritual energy beings having the physical life, and no matter what challenge or event, our state of mind is most important. And perhaps trust in a bigger plan or higher power, we were talking about that just before, can empower us. And this universal force or soul essence helps us learn that life is simply, really simple. It's really simple if you understand energy, that it's just a gathering of experiences, neither good or bad. All right? Just about learning that we're multidimensional beings and the world is full of hope and possibility. And possibilities and retraining our mind.
It retrained my mind from having to control and allowed me to let go, but it allowed me to let go with hope. See, before what would happen is I would try to let go, but the fear that things wouldn't work out just overcame me. But with maybe, it allowed me to let go of my attachment as to what was going to happen next. But at the same time, I had hope that there were possibilities that I would enjoy and that life can go in beautiful directions. So that was so beautiful about the practice for me.
Yes, absolutely. And you wrote, over time, I have come to realize that maybe is a place, a philosophy, a seed, a magic elixir all at once. Maybe is the part of uncertainty where endless possibilities live and breathe. A mindset that suggests that for every situation we experience, there are numerous ways it may resolve. Maybe I will be all right no matter what happens. And of course we will. The truth is, what's the worst thing that happens to us? What if people fear most? Loss of a job, loss of their health, loss of a loved one, death. I mean, yes, all those things are going to happen because they're part of the reality of living. But none of it really matters that much because we will in the next moment find help either from those above if we ask for it. In however one does it, meditation, prayer, yoga, however we find that connection to the universal source, and also from people around us. Right. We just have to learn to ask and be open and trust, not in the negativity, which will only bring in more negativity, because the law of attraction is always at work. What we give out, we bring back. So nobody taught us that as kids. Believe me, I would have loved it if I would have learned, if you're going to think happy thoughts are coming back. If you're going to lay there on the floor and cry in the next minute, you're going to stub your toe and really cry more because you're setting up an energy for disaster. And my dad did say to me when I was a child, and I didn't understand what he meant, he said, you're your own worst enemy. And the truth is, that's when things get bad for us, when we have fear and when we project our fear into everything we're doing so that we really can't see the best. And thought does create a reaction and an action. So we want to change our thinking. And it's not easy for some people. It takes discipline and consistency and being with people who are hopeful and who also want to make life better for themselves, and realizing what you want to engage and what you don't want to engage. Right?
Right. So, right. But a lot of the problem is that this relationship we have with uncertainty takes over.
Yes.
If we're so afraid of the unknown, if we're so afraid of what we don't know, we just walk around, we suffer. We suffer because we think we know, which we don't, and we think there's a level of control that we really can't have, and that what we end up doing, instead of being present to enjoy all those things and having all the experiences you're speaking about, we live in the projection of tomorrow. And we know, right, if we're not present and we're projecting, we're going to pick up fear because we're making up stories of what's going to happen, and we know that could be a bottomless pit because we're afraid that we're not okay, we're afraid our children won't succeed, we're afraid we will die one day. All these things are preventing us from being present enough to connect to this energy, this gathering, to all the beauty of life. So
yes,
for me,
they're stopping us from living.
Exactly.
Really?
So maybe what maybe did, it stopped the projection for me. That was the miracle. The miracle was is that when I recognized the maybe, I realized not knowing is the best thing in the world. Because if I don't know, that means all things are still possible.
Yes, and,
but
absolutely.
But we think differently. We think, oh, if I know the answer, I will be saved. If I just knew what was going to happen in this job or this, then everything would be okay, and we don't realize that's why we suffocate. So it's actually, we think the opposite, right,
yes.
of what's true.
Yes.
And that's maybe did that for me. Maybe just switched everything up. And just opened me to this new place, this new perspective.
Yes, and you know, I'm married to an attorney, and I thought at one point when I was younger I might be an attorney, but I went into the more creative, being with people in a different way and helping. And yes, lawyers do help also, but lawyers think in a way, sometimes in a roundabout way, they're trained to think in
right.
a way that I don't think. I'm pretty straightforward. I say what I mean what I say. You see it right away. There's no looking for it in the words or in the paper. So, but my husband is an attorney, so I think that kind of training also hurt you and limited you from getting where you had to get, that you are now at. And you gave a quote in the book that I liked very much by Khalil Gibran. And he says, he shows us that attitude is indeed the key to freedom and faith at the same time. And his quote says, "Your living is determined not so much by what life brings to you as the attitude you bring to life. Not so much by what happens to you as by the way your mind looks at what happens."
Mm-hmm.
And that is,
yeah.
is what we're trying to train our mind to think and to be, and it after a while it happens pretty naturally when you're in the flow and allowing and accepting and surrendering. And you're right, the beauty is in not knowing what's going to happen. Now, I'm an intuitive. I pick up things for not myself so much, but for other people, and only little bits of it, because spirit wants you to have the experience so you don't self-sabotage yourself by knowing something first and not having what you need to lead up to that part of life. You know, you have to walk the walk. You can't just be given what you think you need immediately. So walking the walk is as exciting as getting to your goal. So since a state of certainty is an impossibility, because we can't control anything but how we choose to deal with what happens, so since a state of certainty is an impossibility, what finally happened to make you take a leap of faith and change this defeating notion? What is the philosophy of maybe?
Well, what happened that day, I felt the pop in my chest, was the recognition that the pain was from the need to know. The pain was from the certainty. The complacency in my life came from the fact that I think I know what was going to happen tomorrow. So I went home that day, and I had kind of left the law already, and I was doing business consulting, and I saw my thought. I didn't get that client, and it's bad. I don't have enough money. And then I start to play around with this idea of maybe that thought's not true. Maybe I'm exactly where I need to be. So I kept challenging my fear with this maybe thought. And again, it took me from this cramped place where I thought I knew I was doomed. I thought I knew what was next, and led me to this open place where I recognized not only was I not doomed, I had the infinite field of possibilities with me at all times. And maybe life was going in the right direction, and maybe I was still okay. And again, it was just another possibility other than my fear, but it liberated me. And the place it liberated me to was to hang out in the unknown and allow myself to cultivate a different relationship. And I also often say that, in a way, maybe it's like a cognitive faith, because it allows you to hang out in uncertainty where the people who have faith in life and faith in the universe are able to hang out. And the more you hang out in the unknown, the more you develop a relationship with uncertainty and the universe. So I think today I've actually cultivated some faith in my life, which I never expected. The maybe was my practice. It was the thing I needed to change. It was the thing I needed to let go. And now I find that I have more of a natural freedom. And I have clients report back, too, that the more you allow yourself to engage in this different kind of way of thinking, the more different you are. It just changes you. You have the experience that you yearn for your whole life using this little word, and then you start thinking differently. You start showing up differently. Everything has changed.
Yes. Everything changes when the thought changes. But how does one begin? Many people have self-doubt. Again, that holds us back from anything positive in our life. So how does one begin to minimize self-doubt as an obstacle to moving forward? And you give a good story of the Olympian champion, Michael Phelps. So I like that story. So tell us about it.
Well, you know, it's interesting. That story is very funny because most of the it's actually not a funny story, but the story of why it was in my book is humorous, because most of the stories in my book were about people that I work with. And he was one of the few stories I put in of someone I didn't know, but it was right after the 2008 Olympics, and he had done so well. And then after the Olympics, he was found drinking and partying, and he was in rehab, and I was so aggravated. I was like, oh, why did I put Michael Phelps in my book? People are going to think that he's not a maybe story. And this past Olympics, I watched him again, and that guy, he has maybe written all over him. He is just a guy that hangs out in infinite possibilities and really achieves a lot because he has faith in what's impossible, faith in the unknown. But the story in the book, so of course my editor and I laugh now because I wanted to pull the story, and then I just saw him in the Olympics, and again he proved to me that he is worthy of being in a book called Maybe. And the story that I told was, though, before the 2008 Olympics, he had he hurt his wrist, and it was a microfracture. And he went to his coach, and he's like, I'm done. It's over. And his coach said, go back into the water. And for a long time, he couldn't really practice, and he had to just kick. And all he could do was kick. But when it came time to the Olympics, he actually won more medals than anybody ever had before. And it was funny, one of the races he won was because his kick had gotten so strong. And the reason his kick got so strong was because he couldn't use his wrist.
Maybe that accident served him.
Exactly.
Well, it did serve him very well to develop other talents and strengths. And that's what I want our listeners to know. Whatever happens to you in life is not an accident. It's part of your plan. And if you take that difficult situation, as he did, Michael Phelps, and get in the water and do what you can, will have a positive result. And it might not be exactly what you're thinking with your head, but it may be what's exactly needed by your inner soul being. And I also liked that you had a quote from another guest, Dan Millman, who's author, he's the author of Way of the Peaceful Warrior, and he's been on my show also. And he said, faith means living with uncertainty, feeling your way through life, letting your heart guide you like a lantern in the dark. So we won't know everything, but yet we can find a way forward that feels good to us within. And I'm sure Michael liked being in the water and trying because, it kept him in a medium that he liked, water and being with the other athletes. And it gave him hope once again, because he was at least, like, you know, he was not retreating. He was trying to engage, which is a very good thing. Now, many people talk about being present. We've been talking about that today, in the moment, instead of worrying about the future. Can you tell us your thoughts on how to become more conscious of the effects or reality of past, present, and future?
Okay. Well, what happened to me is that I was filled with regret of the things that I didn't do in the past that had led me to where I was in the moment. And I was filled with fear of the projection that my life's not going in the right direction. So between those two, I was not present. And this idea of maybe healed both things, because maybe made me look at the past and say, maybe I wouldn't have been better off had I made that decision. Because, you know, the funny thing about regret is we write these stories about how life would have been so grand had we made another decision, but we never get to live it out. And we have no idea what would have happened had we made a different turn, had we gone into another business. So it made me realize that maybe it wouldn't have been better, that other
Absolutely.
Choice.
Absolutely. Maybe you got just what you were supposed to get. Absolutely.
Yeah. All I know is here I am with the hope and possibility that maybe my life will go forth in the path that I want from today and onward. And then what also did for me is that, because maybe also stopped the projection, because I realized maybe everything is still good, maybe things are going my way, maybe it's good, I don't know, maybe something else will happen. It made me realize that this fear of what will happen tomorrow might not be true, and it would like drop the fear and I'd land in the moment. So my regret was done. My projections were done, and all of a sudden I became so present.
And peaceful. You know, as an intuitive medium in exploring the world of energy, I have found that the past, present, and future are really happening simultaneously. Some of our energy is in the present moment, and some still in the past or future, as energy can't be destroyed, so neither can our inner soul energy and our thoughts, which are energy. So there's really no death, and maybe, I'm going to use your word, this is continuous life. So yeah. So I wrote in my book, The Living Spirit, through my readings, clients begin to understand their spiritual connections to a higher dimension where souls who depart their physical bodies now reside and communicate with all souls on the earth plane. I believe our loved ones in spirit guide us to expand our understanding of our soul nature. They may have known us in physical life, but after crossing over, they may become our teachers, helping us to gain a greater knowledge of life, death, and how to navigate this three-dimensional physical plane called Earth. There is a universal sphere of continuous knowledge beyond Earth. It is the point where the past, present, and future merge. And in reality, there really is not past, present, future. There is only energy. Energy, and maybe is the word for energy, to keep us knowing that the possibilities lying ahead are so wonderful. So what would you like readers to take away with them after reading The Gift of Maybe?
That, it sounds so simple, because it's this one little simple word, but it takes you from this limited place that we've been living in, our fear of our need to know, of the belief that we can control, and it liberates us to have a fearless life where we recognize that not knowing is the best place we could be, because then we're going to be willing to let life happen in its greatest form. So I just ask people to try it, to go out and try it at their job, try it in their relationship, even try working a new way to work. Wherever you're willing to engage in maybe, you're in a place in your life where you're not shutting down, where you're not saying what you know is going to happen, and you're willing to access everything that's possible. And I just, you have to experience it. It's an experience. You could read the book, but you really feel the impact when you go out and you start to practice it, because you have less stress and worry. You have more presence, more creativity, and less fear, more love.
So I want to thank you, Allison Carman, author of The Gift of Maybe, for finding your own way to move past an unsustainable addiction to certainty and to conquering the fear or need to know the future. And nobody really should know everything about the future. and to control life even before the miracles experiences unfold that offer the possibilities for knowing life in its infinite array of wonder and hope. So for more information and to learn to apply the world of energy in the word maybe, go to AllisonCorman.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we have discovered yet another tool in the arsenal of healing and a way that our personal inner power may be restored or recognized, and we may learn to live in the present moment, aware of the past, hopeful for the future, and courageous and brave in our newfound attitudes to living life fully in the hope of maybe, which offers an array of possibilities beyond just the obvious of seeing life as either good or bad, for that view is ultimately limiting and ineffectual. We can find a successful, purposeful, and prosperous life journey. Allison wrote, "The idea of maybe allows us to keep a positive and hopeful vision of our lives and at the same time frees us from defining each and every moment as either good or bad. It is simply too painful to hold on to every event we do not like in our lives, seeing them as tragic and finite. What a joy to realize that the unexpected does not have to define our experiences, but instead opens up opportunities to find new ways to accomplish our goals. Allison and I would have you see that while the future may present itself in ways that you think you are unprepared to handle, the growing ability you develop to look at life in many open-ended ways with courage and boldness may be more valuable than you might yet realize. Maybe, along with other spiritual tools, will help you see how much help you have from those in spirit and also from those in your everyday life who only wish for you greatest joy. And that joy is learning to love life as it is and accept our challenges as they present. Nothing is random and everything changes rapidly. So be hopeful and be kind to yourself. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to listen to and read about ways you may further value the metaphysical world of energy and its knowledge, and find ways to explore the physical world and the universe as you create an energy of possibilities for improving human and spiritual capacity and for living successfully. Shows may also be heard on WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you.